when we sat down to record this end of year Balling in the Six podcast, there were a lot of themes that we could have touched on. Perhaps it was Darko's attempt to turn this mishmash of long boys into a semi-comprehensible half-court offense team. Perhaps it was being left 12 and 19 and facing the prospect of losing to the Detroit Pistons, being the first team to lose to them in 30 games. But then something else happened. Tonight, Toronto is mourning. It's lost its only British player, one of two in the entire league. That's right, OG Anunoby is heading to New York, along with Precious Achiuwa, of course. In return, the Raptors, if we go from low to high, we get the Detroit second round pick from next year, which will likely be the 31st pick. We'll got RJ Barrett, so we get a Canadian back over the border. But the main piece of this trade, and the main reason that this podcast is starting on an optimistic note, is the acquisition of Emmanuel Quickley. Welcome to the final 2023 episode of Balling in the Six.
Marcus Smart's going to stay up high, taking anybody coming to the ball.
Series on the line. Anunoby got it off, and it goes! Did it count is the question. OG Anunoby buries a triple at the buzzer.
Just an absolutely great pass. Great shot by OG Anunoby, but an incredible pass by Kyle Lowry over Taco Fall for the game winner. Boston zoned up at the end. Great play and a huge win for the Toronto Raptors.
So first, of course, before getting into what the Raptors get, we must investigate and mourn what they have lost. OG Anunoby, of course, the London-born 26-year-old, was a defensive rock through both bad and good. Of course, he came up as a 2019 champion and, to be honest, as a 23rd pick in the draft in 2017. No one expected too much, but like Pascal Siakam, he defied his draft position to become, you know, a key starter, whether it was under Dwayne Casey, Nick Nurse, or now Darko. An absolute defensive general on the floor. He can defend 1 through 5, and he almost epitomized this 6'9" long boy philosophy that the front office was going for, where everyone could defend everyone, where everyone would switch, where the focus was on deflections and steals. And to be honest, he delivered. And there was plenty of moments, apart from, of course, that championship winning run. You will remember the next season, the famous buzzer beating three to keep that playoff series alive against the Celtics. In his first season in the playoffs, his game tying three, which was kind of overshadowed by LeBron's buzzer beater in the series against the Cavs. But he's given a lot of moments, and, you know, stats wise, as well as having that defensive versatility and talent, you had okay shooting too. His best year was pretty much the COVID year. He shot 40% from behind the field. It dropped a little in the last couple of years, 36% and 38%. And this season, he was averaging 15 points on 37% from three and almost 50% from the field. So all things said, offensively, he was never a bad player, but he just did not fit into the current timeline of the Raptors. This is a roster which the front office have realized they need to retool, if not completely rebuild. This is the first major retooling step to building around Scottie Barnes. If you're going to keep the likes of Siakam, if you're going to keep the likes of Poeltl, who of course is only traded for last year, you're pretty much stuck with him now. You have to move someone, and especially move someone who doesn't have the ability to put the ball on the floor. And OG, for all his offensive prowess, simply did not. You could not envision him any game putting the ball, taking someone one-on-one, driving to the hoop. I mean, he was fine finishing at the rim. He was fine getting on the end of moves. But his lack of creation, whether it was for himself or others, And I know his assists slightly improved, and they're improving in the new system, but that's more a case of the system rather than himself. That lack of creativity and individual threat meant he couldn't fit simply on this Raptors team, and he was a complete offensive black hole at times. And I say this with a heavy heart because, of course, this is your number one London Raptors podcast. This is, you know, a London-born NBA player, someone who came up against the odds, 23rd pick, like we said, and has turned himself into an absolute beast of a player. I mean, the accolades speak for themselves. He was the NBA steals leader last year. He was all-defensive second team last year, and he was only going up and up. But he just wasn't right for this team. OG, we salute you. We will miss you. But now was perhaps the perfect time to end. And that's because, of course, of the rumors of an extension as well. He would have been eligible for a $19 million player option next year. And that, if the Raptors wanted to fulfill that, would mean they simply cannot afford to keep some of their other talent. So OG has to be the sacrificial lamb on which this ends. I mean, to a lot of people, it was between OG and Siakam, but it ended up being Mr. Anunoby. And of course, that's not forgetting Precious Achiuwa, the other player who is departing the Toronto Raptors on New Year's Eve. Now, Precious, of course, was a sort of bonus return that the Raptors managed to get in the Kyle Lowry sign and trade. And he was always seen as a project of sorts. I mean, he looked pretty good in his rookie year in Miami coming out. But he's never really managed in sort of 2.5 seasons at the Raptors to carve himself into a proper starting role. It's always been too erratic. The basketball IQ never has really been there. And although he's shown flashes of, you know, perhaps developing a three shot, perhaps developing some prowess in the pick and roll, this is a guy who never really has earned more than 20 minutes a game and has never averaged more than 10 points a game. And so apart from being a spark plug off the bench in some fixtures, it's not a major, major loss. And of course, Precious, if he'd stayed, perhaps could have developed himself into something. But with the amount of talent coming through, you could see he wasn't particularly in the front office's plans. I mean, he played 2 minutes against Boston, 11 against Washington the day before. He's averaging 16 minutes this season. And for a pass-first coach like Donnie Darko, he's really not flavor of the month. So, farewell, Precious. You will be missed, perhaps less so, but indeed such. It's also worth noting that after the initial recording of this podcast, it was revealed that Malachi Flynn is on his way to New York as part of the trade. Now, I'm not saying he's irrelevant to the Raptors' fortunes. Darko, of course, tried a lot with him this season as that backup point guard to Schroeder, but the writing was on the wall in the last couple of games when Schroeder was dropped to the bench. Scotty Barnes became point Scotty, and Flynn was really disregarded to garbage time. He wasn't good enough as an NBA player. I'm not sure what the Knicks will do with him. Of course, they've lost a couple of guards, but there was no space for him in Toronto anymore. Goodbye, Flynn. Your father's postings on various Facebook groups will continue to be monitored and engaged with appropriately. But Malachi, best of luck in New York or wherever you end up, but just not a fit on the Raptors anymore. We all roasted Nick Nurse for not giving this guy a chance, but Darko has, and guess what? We're now roasting Darko for giving him a chance. Not a good fit in Toronto.
All the way to the rim. Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson sauntering to the scorer's table, quickly finishes, puts the foul. Emmanuel Quickley's coming out party to the national audience.
It has been impressive watching him work in the absence of Jalen Brunson. Just so special, under control. That's what I've noticed about him, taking the right shots, making the right plays.
Well, Well, now it is time to get excited because we are going to talk about one of the Canadians who have recrossed the border back to their homeland and is now with the Toronto Raptors. You're right, that is 23-year-old RJ Barrett, the third round pick in the 2019 draft. Not insanely in favor in New York right now, but someone who will be a very, very serviceable player in his homeland. Now with RJ, you get a pure scorer. I'm comparing this very much to the Gary Trent Jr. trade, where it's not quite a diamond in the rough, but it's a gem that you just need to make slightly more efficient to be considered a good role player. Now, you must consider, well, similarly to Gary Trent, he was only 23 at the time of the trade. He's only 23. He averages 18 points a game. He plays around 30 minutes for the Knicks every single game. This is less, of course, this year under the new management. However, it's fair to say that RJ, of course, coming off hot as a third pick, has slightly regressed in terms of his percentages. In 2020, in the pandemic season, like OG, he was shooting very well, 40% from three and 44% from the field. This season, he's shooting just 42% from the field and 33% from three. However, the Raptors right now do not need more players who can defend and refuse or are incapable of putting the ball on the floor. They need players who, in a way, like Precious but not quite like Precious, are a little quirky, a little erratic, aren't afraid to take risks but have a reasonable IQ so that any failure of the execution is not down to poor decision making or talent, it's simply down to how the ball bounces. And I think with RJ, there's an idea, and of course you saw the potential, and everyone's seen the potential throughout his career, despite the slight regression, that he can develop into the person Gary Trent was meant to, that we thought Gary Trent would be right now. But luckily, he's not the only return in the trade. And of course, you're looking at RJ as probably a bench player to start with, and that's completely fine. You need someone explosive off the bench, especially since we moved Schroeder there to facilitate a reasonable half-court offense with that second unit. But it's more than likely that Emmanuel Quickley is going to be the Raptors' new starting point guard. He's 24 years old. He was the 25th pick in the 2020 draft. And let me tell you, Knicks fans and the Knicks front office are so high on this guy. He's 45% from the field, 40% from three. This is from a point guard perspective. He's not so much a dimer. He's only averaging, 2.5 assists a game this season. But the difference is he's now moving into a pass-first system. And let's talk about Quickley from a statistical perspective. If we compare him to Dennis Schroeder, who of course has probably been proved to be a really decent free agency pickup for the Raptors this year, despite a slight regression in his own percentages, he's still, and as I've seen with 19 assists in the last two games with the second unit, he's still managing to be a valuable contributor in unlocking this offense. Quickley shoots better than Schroeder, 39% from wide open three compared to 34% to what Dennis Schroeder's been doing. In terms of being an on-ball defender, he's very, very comparable. This season, you only need to look at the stats where the Knicks' defense, when he was on the floor, it was in the 80th percentile. He is a pesky on-ball defender, but we didn't get him for that. That's a little bonus. We got him to further not only unlock this offense from a half-court perspective, but also for his pure scoring ability. Now, with the spacing, until Scotty started hitting threes, the Raptors really lacked someone who can create high-value shots for themselves. In the last 3 years, Quickley shooting 36% on pull-up threes. And when it comes to creating from his teammates, he's not too bad either. He's this in the 76th percentile in terms of what we call box creation. That's how many open shots a player creates for his teammates per 100 possessions. And according to this statistic, Emmanuel Quickley creates 6.3 open shots for others per 100 possessions. And again, when you compare it to his time at the Knicks, the Knicks half-court offense is 2.8 points more efficient per 100 when Quickly is on the floor than when he is off. In a lot of ways, this does address the Raptors' weaknesses. Gone, of course, is the stagnant ISO offense, but despite the passing philosophy that Darko has, it's been difficult to create any notion of offensive efficiency unless, you know, Schroeder's having a special night, his pick and roll with Poeltl is working, unless Scotty is getting hot from beyond the arc, unless Siakam is having one of his career nights. You shouldn't have to rely on those individuals going above and beyond to have a decent offensive night. What Emmanuel Quickly, and of course to an extent RJ Barrett does, is raise that floor. And that's very, very crucial. And what's more crucial is probably their ages, 24 and 23. This trade fits perfectly with the Scottie Barnes timeline. Now, it's yet to be seen what other moves the Raptors will take. Whether perhaps you're going to trade Siakam. Of course, he's an all-star, he's slightly older, he's set to get a good return. Whether Gary Trent may be rendered useless by this trade. Of course, he slid into the starting lineup. But as such a similar player to someone like RJ Barrett, will he be considered by Darko anymore? Will he kind of slip into the Malachi purgatory that some guards on the Raptors have been put in? But one thing is clear, there's been a clear recognition from the Toronto Raptors front office, from Masai and Bobby, that something is wrong, that there needs to be a slight change in direction. And this first move, and I hope, and we all hope, is the first of a couple of major moves, shows that the Raptors have gone in a slightly different direction, that they've gone perhaps slightly younger, slightly smaller, slightly less we need to defend every position, and slightly more let's put the ball in the basket. Now the Knicks, for them, they get a decent trade. Precious is less so, I think. Again, Precious can continue being that diamond in the rough for them, but OG for them is someone who can pair with their offensive talent, and it's someone they needed. They don't need more guys to put the ball in the floor. They need someone to be able to defend, that archetypical 3 and D guy. So they get a decent one, and I say, this is boiling in the Sixers' perspective, this is an absolute win-win for both. And of course, the Raptors get the Detroit Pistons pick, the second round pick for the 2024 drop. With the Pistons' current trajectory, this is likely to be, of course, very high up in the second round, so we can look forward to anything from 31 to 35. And of course, with Masai's ability to draft, and of course we've seen Siakam go 27, OG go 23, of course, we can expect a decent return. So overall, this, after going 12-19, after a really tight loss to Boston, after what has been a difficult season where even the most rose-tinted of podcasts, including us, have really struggled to find too many positives bar a better style of play, this perhaps is the start of the journey that the Raptors should have began a couple of years ago. This is Balling in the Six. We will see you in 2024. Whether this will be the same Raptors podcast, or should I say same Raptors roster, only time will tell.
What else do you remember?
Bill did that to me a lot. LeBron did it to me the second time we played Cleveland. I was denying up there.
Denial, again, up on the body?
I like to. Mm-hmm. If you do it, you have to do it up onto the body, so clear as a backpack.
Right.
I like to. So I like to deny them from catch.